All right, we're doing a series called Love Your Church. And if you remember last week, we talked about belonging. And a couple of the verses that we looked at in that regard, just to kind of remind you, Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. And then Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Those are parts of belonging together as a church body. We talked about the importance of belonging to a body, and each being an integral part of that whole body. And we said that you wouldn't want a part-time mother, right? That's applicable today. Or a part-time father. Sadly, some children do grow up under those circumstances, and that it's just, it's sad to think about. But by the same token, we shouldn't be a part-time Christian or a part-time member of this body of believers. We should be full-time, all the time, members of one another, right? If you're a member of this body or you attend regularly and are looking forward to becoming a member of this body, you can say, I go to Hill Village Bible Church, right? Oh, they just turned me on. You can say, I go to Hill Village Bible Church. But that doesn't say anything about your actual commitment to the church. It's kind of a hum. We'll just hum over it. That's all right. We'll let them work on that, and we'll keep going here. So belonging in the true sense is belonging all the time, not just when it's convenient for us, all right? My wife belongs to me because we're in a close relationship, and that's what belonging means. It means being in a close or intimate relationship. I belong to this church, this body, because I'm in a close relationship with you, or I should be. If I'm not, shame on me. I need to work on that. And we all do. I belong to Christ because I'm in a close relationship with him. If I only touch base with Christ, you know, here and there, every once in a while, when it suits me, what kind of a relationship do I have with him? Not a very good one, right? So this week, we're going to look at how our church can and should be welcoming, all right? That's what we're going to look at today, welcoming. Now, what do we mean by that? When you're away from someone that you love for a time, what's your reunion like? Think about that. Remember times you went to pick up somebody at the airport, or they drove in the driveway, somebody you haven't seen for a while, close member, family member or really good friends. What is that reunion like? What is that coming together like? All right? Is it simply a matter of, hi, how are you? And we go on our way and turn away from them? No, of course not. We run up to them, we hug them, we say, oh, wow, it's so good to see you. You know, I think of when we are fortunate to have Randy and his family come out. We don't see them a lot. It can be months and sometimes years in between the times that we see them. So when we go to the airport to pick them up, it's oh, wow, you're just hugging each other and happy to see each other. And you know, that's the kind of welcome that we're talking about as brothers and sisters in Christ, as members of this family. So, Paul talked about reunions or the coming together of the church in his gospels, in his letters, I should say. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:20 with me. 1 Corinthians 16:20. And it says there, All the brethren greet you. All the brethren, greet ye one another with an holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12, I'll just read this to you, says, greet one another with a holy kiss. So twice he tells the church at Corinth to greet one another. And this isn't, I don't think it's, you know, once in a great while, greet one another with a holy kiss. It sounds to me like it's every time you get together, do this. Paul says in Romans 16:16, salute one another, or again, greet one another with a holy kiss. In 1 Peter 1, he says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14, Peter says again, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. So we don't really understand. We don't know what that holy kiss was. I'm sure it's not lips to lips, okay? Based on Paul's other teaching, I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think maybe he's talking about that sort of European kind of greeting, where they kind of touch each other on the cheek and even sometimes just make the sound of a kiss, but they're not really kissing, you know, anybody. They're just, that's how they greet each other. And perhaps that is what he's talking about. We don't know exactly. But in any event, it's more than just a, hi, you know, right? I mean, it's a holy kiss. I mean, this has got to be, oh, wow, I am so happy to see you, so good to see you, you know. And maybe it's a hug, you know, that's fine. Just, you know, be careful, but don't get carried away. But you understand, it's a passionate welcoming, a joyous reunion, okay? And that's what our church getting together should look like. And it does to a certain extent, I'm glad to say. It does. You know, people seem genuinely glad to see each other. But we've got to get beyond our group, beyond the people that we really know well. And we need to express that kind of welcoming to others that we don't know so well. In our prayer group that we had last week, our deacons' prayer group, We had one man who didn't know another one's name, and both of them had been in this church for a while. One didn't know the other one's name. And I don't know if that is true elsewhere. There may be others here who don't know everybody's name here. I might know them, but I forget them sometimes, okay? But I do know you. All right? But that's the kind of relationship that we should have and the kind of welcoming that should happen when we come together. Now, that's fervent love with a pure heart. All right? That's what Scripture says. That's what Paul says. So you see that to begin with, we need to be welcoming each other as family members, as members one of another. Paul says in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 that we are members one of another. We belong to each other. We belong together. And when we come together, it needs to be evident that that's truly the case. Now, I have 3 points this morning on welcoming. Number one is welcoming starts before we come through the doors of the church. It starts well before we come through the doors of the church. It starts with the preparation of our hearts and lives throughout the week. When we leave here on Sunday afternoon, we need to start getting ready for the next time we're going to be together. Hopefully that's Wednesday night, but unfortunately a lot of people either can't make it or don't make it on Wednesday nights. It's sometimes it's a little disheartening to see who isn't here with us on Wednesday nights. But We need to be preparing for that next time that we see each other throughout the week. And what I'm going to do is look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So if you want to turn there, please, Romans 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. So I'll read those to you first, and then we'll break them down a little bit. Romans 12, 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, and he says therefore, I feel like I have to explain this, because in chapter 11, he's talking about the Jews basically being pruned off of the tree and Gentiles being grafted into the tree, or the vine that's Christ, okay? So he says, I beseech you, therefore, those that are grafted in, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We have to have our hearts and our lives right before the Lord before we come into church fellowship. So let's look at what these three verses say about that preparation. Verse 1, he says, think of yourselves as living sacrifices, not going to your death and being sacrificed that way, but your living is a sacrifice. Not as being served, but giving up our comfort to please others. That should be our attitude when we come to church. And we should prepare before we come that we're coming to serve God and serve each other. All right? We're not coming to be, you know, entertained. We're not coming to have everybody else, you know, feel bad about us. We're coming to serve others. We're giving ourselves as a sacrifice. Our attitude should not be, I've got my seat, you go find your own, okay? We can't have that kind of attitude. When, this makes me think about sometimes when people come in near the, just before the beginning of the service, everybody's sat down, they've got their place, and some folks come in, or one or two people, and we have to find a place for them to sit. I think that what should happen is, as, you know, if one of the ushers or somebody else is bringing somebody in to find a seat, there ought to be several people jumping up and saying, please, please, take my seat. And you know, you go find something else. You're much better able to find another seat than some visitor that's coming in, okay? So try to develop that kind of mentality, that servant mentality, so that we can serve each other. And don't do it just for visitors. Do it for each other. Help each other. Find a good place to sit so that they can enjoy the service. Don't make them search and find and end up in the front row, okay? So verse number one, think of ourselves as a living sacrifice. Number two, not being conformed to the culture and not bringing the world's trappings into our gatherings together. We're in the world all week, aren't we? And we can be influenced, heavily influenced by the world. But if we're walking with the Lord, we're praying, we're reading, we're thinking about our brothers and sisters in Christ and actually communicating with each other during the week. Okay? We need to be doing that. We need to be in touch with each other so that when we come together, we're not bringing, you know, the stuff from the world into the church. We're not dressing like, you know, the world does because we want to impress somebody or where we think we're showing off. We're showing how, you know, we're not stodgy, you know, we're kind of with it, you know. I mean, you're thinking about yourself, and you're not thinking about anybody else. in that case. We need to come seeking God's will and thinking about the transformation of lives, those that need to be saved, those that are saved, that need to grow or need help or comfort in some way. That should be our attitude. Number three, from verse three, not that we are insiders and they are outsiders. We're not looking at people as insiders or outsiders. We're all sinners and we're all here, I believe, saved by grace. But some that come are not saved by grace yet. They're not saved yet. And some are saved, but acting like they aren't. Okay? We need to remember and be humble. Remember, we were sinners once. How did we feel walking into church for the first time when we weren't saved? Or even if we had just gotten saved and we walk into church for the first time, what was that like for us? And what should it be like for people that come through our doors? We need to be thinking about that. Now, my second point is welcoming is necessary for the benefit of the church. So number one, we need to be thinking about this through the week. We need to be walking close to the Lord and preparing ourselves mentally and spiritually to come together. It should be, you know, the highlight of our week, coming together with God's people. But welcoming is necessary for the benefit of the church, not just visitors, but for the church. Now, thinking about Romans 12, 1 through 3, what do we usually think about? We think about ourselves. We think about, you know, being transformed, not being conformed to the world, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, right? We think about that personally. But Paul intended these verses to address our relationship to the body, to the church. Our personal walk has a huge impact on our church. We're filling up the body of Christ as we come in Sunday mornings. We're filling up the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the form of Christ. The church is like an air-filled, one of those things you see in the car sales lots with the arms flopping around and the, you know, or you see, you know, Santa Claus on the front lawn, one of those air things, I don't know what you call them. But in a way, you can kind of picture the church like that. So as we come in, we're filling up the image and the form of the body of Christ, right? So if an arm doesn't show up on a Sunday morning, what happens, you know? That arm is just flopping over on the side here. It's not able to do anything. It's not able to reach out to others, okay? The body is weakened by that. So we need to think about these things. And Paul's intent was that we would have our lives where they should be in our relationship to him, to Christ, so that when we come together, we have the right relationship with each other. And we can build up the church by having our lives where they should be in regards to the Lord. We don't think like that, do we, though? We think of our lives as our lives. We are ourselves. We think that generally we're living our lives pretty much independent of each other. And, you know, we come together once or twice a week as a church. You know, we don't think of ourselves as being part of the body of Christ as we go through our week. Romans 12, 4 and 5 say, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. When we are not together, we are still members of this body. We are still one in Christ, and we need to live with this mindset. Welcoming is necessary for the benefit of the church. Now, how does this translate, this attitude, this Romans 1 through 3 attitude, How does that translate into welcoming? Well, remember, we looked at 1 Peter 1:22 when we started. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls. That's Romans 12:1-3, right? You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or unpretending love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. When we see each other in person, you should have prepared yourself to express your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ when you come together. That love should reside in our hearts throughout the week. And then it's expressed physically when we get together. We're glad to see each other. We're happy to see each other. And not just our particular friends, or maybe those we run into during the week, or maybe we work with, whatever that might be. We can't wait to see each other. So that person that you've been praying for all week long should be that person that you can't wait to see on Sunday. As you pray for people, I hope that your anticipation is to see them again and say, what has the Lord been doing for you? Is he answering my prayers for you? That's what we should be doing for each other. Thinking about each other, praying for each other. And then when we do see each other, it's like we want to catch up. You know, what did the Lord do for you? Did he answer my prayers? Remember last week we broke up into deacons' care groups and we shared a burden, and then we prayed for a burden, okay? I hope that was a blessing to you. Sharing and praying for each other is what we should be doing on a regular basis as the body of Christ. But I hope that the person, that one person you prayed for that sat next to you, when you prayed for them, I hope you remembered what they asked you to pray for throughout the week, and that you took that with you and you remembered to pray for them specifically for that one thing throughout the week. I hope you, if you didn't, please work on that. Do that. Try to do that. Try to find someone else that might have a burden they can share with you and take it with you and help them carry it and help them bear it. This is hard. It's hard. It's not something that our human flesh wants to do. We don't care about others in our flesh. We don't really care what they're doing or how they're hurting or what's going on in their lives, right? I mean, you're all human, just like me, so I'm sure I'm not alone in this, all right? But that's how we are. That's our flesh. But walking in the Spirit should be a totally different experience for us. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In other words, our prayers should first of all be for others. All right? We have our own needs, we have our own cares, our fears, our concerns, things we're dealing with. We have those, we know those. But we should first of all turn our hearts to the cares and concerns of our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially in this church. But beyond this church, our brothers and sisters that may not be with us, but they are in the body of Christ somewhere else. All right? So number three, welcoming wins the lost. Welcoming wins the lost. Now, imagine yourself walking into a family reunion in which you are not part of the family. Normally, that would be an awkward feeling. People kind of glance at you, but then just look away and go back to their conversations among themselves. Imagine yourself in this experience. Someone invited you, a friend that you work with, somebody you met, invites you to their family reunion, all right? And you walk in, you don't know anybody. You know one person that invited you. But you walk in, and you're standing there, and people are kind of looking at you like, what are they doing here? They're not part of our family. Who are they? And they ignore you. They go back to their conversations because what they have to say to their family member is of much greater importance than what they might have to say to you, all right? So your friend invited you to come, and you did, but he or she is nowhere to be seen. You're looking around, you just can't see him. And people are beginning to look uncomfortable that you're there. I mean, more people are kind of looking your way, and you know, they're not comfortable and you're not comfortable. This is the experience of the average person, lost or saved, in most churches. Okay? It's sad to say, but even in good churches, this is a common experience. The reason I know that is because it's happened to me. All right? When Andrew and Katie were living in North Carolina, Emily and I were considering a move down there. We wanted to be near them. They were, you know, newly married, and we wanted to be there when the kids start coming, and just be a part close to our family. And I went to a church. I was by myself down there for a little while, and I went to a church in the area. This was in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the Bible Belt, okay? The Bible Belt. I go to this church, big Baptist church, and I walk in. I'm by myself. You know, nobody spoke to me the whole time I was there. Somebody might have gone by and said hi, you know, like just out of necessity. Oh, hi. You know, nice. That's a welcoming feeling. But it was like going into a family reunion of somebody else's family. They might notice you, but nobody talks to you. Nobody goes up to you and says anything to you. When Emily and I took Andrew out to college out in Wisconsin, at Northland Baptist Bible College, we visited the local church there, where I think a lot of the college kids go. And no one spoke to us there. No one spoke to us. It was the weirdest thing. First of all, we arrived on campus. I think we were a little bit early. And there was nobody there. We were walking around the campus looking for people, looking for somebody. And all we heard was the flag, the little clip on the flag, hitting the pole. Ding, ding. It was like we were in a scary movie or something. It was weird. Well, it could have been. I did see faces in the windows. But that was weird. But then we go to church, and we're like, okay, you know, we're with God's people. This is going to be great. Nobody talked to us. You know? I mean, how does that happen? But it does, sadly. People walk in the back, and they just stand there, and they're like, I don't know what to do. Somebody invited me to come, but I don't see him anywhere. You know, what's going on? I don't have a clue what's going on here. Now, just another example, the church that our daughter Katie goes to out in New York is a good church, much like ours. Emily was out there recently helping Katie with the kids. While Brian was in the hospital, Katie was running back and forth. So Emily took the kids to prayer meeting, the first opportunity to go to church. She took them to prayer meeting, and the kids, they know where to go. They've been there. They have friends. They buzz off. And Emily's, again, kind of left there figuring out, you know, where do I go? What do I do? I mean, she's been in church, so she knows what's going to happen. She knows what to expect. But nobody really talked to her until the end of the service. Then a woman, two women did come up and speak with her. So that was nice, but it would have been nice for somebody to have noticed her in the beginning, all right? It's just prayer meeting, not like thousands of people there. But when she went back on Sunday, a woman, one of the women that met her on Wednesday night, did go out and greet her and bring her in, say, come and sit with me. And she was very nice, very, very helpful. And that's great. That's what should happen. But it shouldn't just be one person that notices you're there, you know. And in our church, it's typically a small group of people that do that. We do have people that are eager to welcome people in. When they see a stranger, they go and they greet them and help them figure out where they want to be, where they should go, where the nursery is, where the bathrooms are. That's great. We have a small group of people that do that. But so just go back to the family gathering in the first example. And imagine someone other than your friend readily greets you upon first walking in. They introduce themselves. They ask for your name. They take you to meet a couple of people. They show you where the food is, and they help you to get the food. Then they show you where the bathrooms are. And finally, they take you to find your friend that invited you to the family reunion. That's a much better experience, right? A much different experience. And I'm happy to say, as I said, that our church does do a good job of welcoming people to our family. A good number of you will see a stranger and go up and meet them. And you know, praise God. Praise God that does happen here. It sadly doesn't happen in a lot of churches. But a lot of it stems from our attitude of, I am me, you know, during the week, I'm living my life. And on Sunday, I go, and I got to hear good preaching. I want to hear good music. I want, you know, all my needs taken care of. And then I go home, and I just live in my own little bubble again, okay? And especially in New England, you know, that's easy to do because we don't all live next door to each other, right? So we're pretty spread out, so it's even more important that we reach out to each other and try to develop those connections. So I just want to encourage you, as part of this point, to go out of your way to be kind and welcoming to people that come into our church doors. And this doesn't apply just to visitors, okay? This applies to each other. I'm sure there are people here that have never spoken to each other. I hope it's a small number of people. But if there's somebody here that you have never spoken to in all your time of coming to this church, make a point of going and saying hello to them. Make sure they know your name. They may not know your name, okay? On several occasions, I've had people ask me, who is so-and-so? And you say, you don't know them? Yeah, I mean, you don't say that to them, but you're thinking that. You don't know? But they don't. They do what they do. They sit where they sit. They come and they go. And they know a few people. They've heard a few names. But they don't know the people. So please, if there's somebody you haven't met, if you over on this side haven't met the people over on this side, get over there. You know, go back and forth. Say hello. Get to know each other. You're brothers and sisters in Christ. You're going to be in heaven together. All right? And I don't think Christ is going to, you know, let you go hide in a corner somewhere and say, I hate people. You know, I'm just going to stand over here. No, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Now, several people have been saved on their first visit because someone cared enough to meet them at the door. They sat with them and they spoke with them after the service. And they were able to lead them to the Lord. We've seen that happen here. Praise God. That's how it should happen. And we should be helping each other, comforting each other, speaking to each other. I'm guilty, okay? I'm not telling you these things because I do this, all right? perfectly. I'm trying. I'm learning. But I'm urging you to do the same thing. It's a real blessing. It really is. If you're a shy person, get over yourself. You're not here for yourself. You're here for everybody else. Really. Please. Pray about it. Work on it during the week. Think about it. Who am I going to go talk to when I get there on Sunday? Who do I need to talk to? Who is somebody I don't know? I don't really know them. I need to get to know them. Do that. Christ's body is filled with people who have prepared themselves to serve each other and are looking forward to being together. That is how we fill up the body of Christ, so that when people come in, they see a fully functioning body. Okay, all the parts are in place, and they're all doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's what God wants. That's what Christ wants when we come together. Christ's body is a group of people that fervently love each other. Fervently love each other, not just like each other, love each other. Christ's body is a friendly, welcoming body that strangers want to be among. We want people that come out, come to visit us, and we want you, okay? We've had a couple of people that are, you know, leaving our church or just not coming anymore, okay? If you want to talk about that, please talk to me or talk to one of the deacons or one of the pastors. Why are these people leaving, okay? We need we got to draw the ropes in here, folks, and get closer together and help each other and support each other. Or we're just going to, you know, the people are just drifting away. And where are they going? Where are they going to find the body that they're supposed to be helping to fill out? Right? Do you want to know what God's will is for your life? Love your church. Love your church. And I don't mean this, yeah, we love this building. It's a beautiful building. But this is nothing, okay? This could be gone overnight. And what are we then? Okay? How many people would drift away if this building wasn't here for us to meet in? I'm sad to say there are probably some that would. They just wouldn't come anymore. Because this is where I go to church, in this building. The bodies and the people that are here, they're just here like me. You know, just doing my thing. And there's no connections. We've got to make those connections. If you don't know somebody, let me say it this way. Deacons, you should be encouraging your people to get in touch with each other. Not just you always just contacting them. But, you know, as you go along, stay in contact with them. But encourage them to get in touch with each other. You know, ask them if they need somebody's email address or mailing address or street address. They want to actually go in person, which is an amazing experience that I don't do enough of, sadly. But please do that. Please try to get to know each other and grow in love together. All right, we have to quit. Let's pray.